Good afternoon, church family.
Good evening.
Good to have you all this afternoon, evening for our service. So good to have you. Light the fire in my soul. Fan the flame. Make me whole. Well, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my soul once again. He was on a campaign with Heritage Christian University. We were in Mount Dora, Florida. And a young man who we had in our school, well, that led that song for the very first time for my presence to hear that song. And I said, that's what it's all about. Lighting the fire and fanning the flame. And so when I came to this revival this weekend, this Sunday, this morning, we talked about in our Bible class what revival really is. Revival is bringing back that feeling we had when we first was baptized. And then during our sermon hour, we talked about the idea of why we need revival. Because the Lord has a purpose for us, and one day we'll stand before God in judgment to give an account of that. And this lesson this afternoon, we build upon each one, is where it all has come from, this idea of sin and grace. The Bible tells us that we are made in His image, made in His likeness, to be like Him. But we are frail. So this afternoon, I want to interview a person that will tell us all about what sin and grace constitutes. We don't even know his name in the Bible. We know it by a title, The Prodigal Son. The Prodigal Son tell you all about what sin and grace is. So we're going to ask him this afternoon, what is sin? He'll tell you sin is breaking God's law. But it's more than that. Sin is breaking God's heart. Our brother said, we might know what sin is. It's breaking God's heart. Can you imagine this man had two sons? Luke chapter 15. And he had one of his sons, the younger one, come to him and say, I want my inheritance right now. In those days, the oldest got two-thirds of the inheritance. The younger had the other third. But to give a person an inheritance while you still live, you have to liquidate all your assets. In other words, he was saying, I wish you were already dead, Dad, but I want my inheritance right now. Well, he understood what he wanted. And his father went out and did that very thing. Later on in that same parable, he tells him, the older brother, all that I have is yours. So he actually liquidated all of his goods and gave two-thirds to his older son and gave a third to his younger son. The younger son said, I'm out of here. And he left with that inheritance. And the Bible says he squandered it in riotous living. Sin is leaving God and living for ourselves. Because he did that, he realized something. This is the first lesson for us today. If you take that black train of sin and go down into the far country, as far away from God as you can, if you do that, sin will teach you more than you ever wanted to know. I'm going to tell you right now, and I said that to you, you're going to say, oh, I want to know. We're kind of made that way, aren't we? What do you do when you see a fence and the sign says, do not touch wet paint? What do you want to do? Why is that? But we're built that way. We have that temptation in us, okay? And so when I say sin will teach you more than you want to know, you say, I want to know. An old rag called the Inquirer had this slogan on his paper, for inquiring minds, those that want to know. I'm telling you today, there are things you don't want to know. But Satan used that in the very beginning, didn't he? Hey Eve, yes, serpent? Has God told you you cannot eat every tree in the garden? Genesis chapter 3. Well, God says we can eat of every tree except this one. Not even touch it or we die. Psst, Eve, you won't die. Satan always puts a knot in God's commandments. You're not going to die, but you're going to be like God, knowing good from evil. You're going to know more. You're going to know good from evil. Shall I know that? Well, she thinks she's been left out. She's been treated like a child. Well, I want to know that. Now, if you read 1 John 2, 15 to 17, you know that Satan has really a limited tool chest. He has three major tools. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He always uses those, or a combination of those. In this situation, Genesis chapter 3, here's your lust of the flesh. She saw that the fruit was good to eat. Now, how did she know that? Because she bought into Satan. She swallowed his lie. That it was good for food. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh. And it make her wise. Pride of life. She took that fruit and she ate it. And then she gave it to her husband and he did eat it. They both swallowed it. And their eyes were open. Now guess what? They now knew good from evil. And the first thing they realized was, we're naked. Genesis 2 ends by saying, they've always been naked, but not ashamed, because they were pure. But now, they have sinned. And they realized it. Try to cover themselves up. Didn't do a very good job. God's going to make a better job for them later on. But they try to cover themselves up. Then God tries to find them. For the first time in their lives, they knew shame. We're naked. God says, man, where are you? Well, God knows where they are. But he wanted them to ask the same question. Man, where am I? And the answer is, I'm lost. I'm separated from God. For the first time in man's existence, he was embarrassed to face God. Finally comes out from hiding. He says, God says, did you eat that fruit? I told you not to eat of it. But the woman you gave me. And he says, the serpent beguiled me. Passing the buck. Finally, God says, I'm going to send Jesus. But you are going to face the consequences for your sin. And they had to leave the garden. What I'm telling you today is sin will teach you more than you ever wanted to know. It happens every day in our schools, in our homes, in our factories, our workplace. Does this sound familiar? You mean you never? What do you mean? You mean you never smoked weed? You never did that? You never had drugs? Never? You mean you never had sex before marriage? You never? You mean you never drank? You never? You mean you never? And we feel so small, don't we? We think, well, no, I never have. Well, you've never been around. You don't know what it's like. You've missed out. Am I right? See, Satan hasn't changed all these centuries. And we think we've missed out. But here's my answer for you today. Next time that happens to you, when they say, you mean you never? You can say, no, I never had to go home from a date, go home from work ashamed. I never had to go and feel that I'm separated from my God and feel like I've sinned against my God. No, I never had that feeling in my life of knowing I ruined my reputation. No, I never had to be embarrassed for what I did away from my home. You can say that and say, no, I just say no to that temptation. You can do that. The prodigal son says, I didn't. I wasted my life. And because I did that, when I ran out of my last dollar, I ran out of my last friend. I'm in a faraway country now. I know no one. I got to try to survive. And for a Jewish boy, the worst possible scenario he found in a pig pen. Jews hate swine. And to feed them. And he was so hungry, the Bible says, he would have eaten what they were eating. I mean, that's really bad. He's going to tell you this. If you follow that long train of sin, it will teach you more than you ever wanted to know. Just say no. But if you don't, it will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. Now, this is the next one that Satan always gets this. People say, I can stop anytime I want. You ever try to stop a train when you're on it? You ever try to get off a train while it's moving? You ever try to get off a bicycle when it's moving? You can't get off as quick as you think you can. And the one thing you don't want to do, I don't care if you're on a bicycle or if you're jogging or if you're in a car or an airplane, you don't want to go farther than you want to go. You don't want to do that. And especially you don't want to do that with your life. But sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. If you had told that young man that day when he had all his inheritance, ready to leave home, where are you going, young man? I'm going as far away from my father as I possibly can. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to partay. I'm going to say, you know where you're going, young man? No, where am I going? You're going to be going to a pig pen. He said, no way. I'm never going to go that far. That's the lie that Satan always gives us. You think, at the beginning with sin, that you're in control. Just one here, just one there. No one's going to know. Who's going to know, right? Who's going to know? Sin makes you feel like you're in control for a while. And after a while, it's like a wrestling match. It twitches. And sin's on top and doesn't let you up. It will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Nobody plans to be an alcoholic the first time they take a drink. You don't plan for that. You don't plan to be a drug addict the first time you take a drug. You don't plan for that. You don't plan to have a baby out of wedlock and you have sex outside of that. You don't plan for that. But sin will take you further than you want to go. So what do? You don't get on. You don't start. You say, no. But if you don't, sin will teach you more than you ever wanted to know. It'll take you further than you ever wanted to go. And it'll keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. How long was that prodigal son in the pig pen? The Bible doesn't tell us. You ask that prodigal son, how long were you at that pig pen? He would tell you, every second was 1 second too long. I should have gotten out a long time ago. It's a song we sing in our songbook. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not that for me he died on Calvary. Years. And here's the big lie here. I can stop anytime I want to. I'm going to stop right now. Do you know alcoholics stop 100 times a day? But they start up again. Drug addicts, they stop 100 times a day. Am I right? You all heard of it? Yeah. But they start. You think you've got it control, but you're not in control. Now, I'm telling you is this. If you're addicted to anything, you need help. You need counseling. There's some wonderful counselors you can get a hold of. They'll counsel you. You need prayers of your family, church family. You need a community family, church family, to help you in every way. Because it will keep you longer than you want to stay. It doesn't let go. The prodigal son will tell you, when he finally realized he came to himself, he says, I'm going back home. That's a wonderful day when you come to yourself and say, I've got to stop. I've really got to stop and change. But you know what? There's a grand canyon between the saying and the doing. But this young man actually got up and started back home. And can't you just imagine, this is not in the parable, can you imagine though, this young man walking through other people's fields, he's coming back to his daddy. And somebody, a neighbor, who knew that boy growing up, saw him coming and say, who is that? Well, he looks terrible. And then he sees this young man, and the father's up there on the porch. Every day he's looking for his son. And he sees that figure coming. And he says, could that be? And the father starts running. You know, fathers don't run in those days, okay? They have this long, flowing thing. You don't run very well. He had to pull that thing up and show his legs. But he's running. He's running for that boy. And when he gets to that boy, now look at this, the Bible says this, he throws his arms around him and begins to kiss him on his face profusely. This boy has been in a pig pen. Doesn't smell too good. Doesn't look too good. Hasn't eaten very well. He's kissing that boy on the face. The boy's trying to say, Dad, Dad, I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make you one of your hired servants. Paul's not even listening. All he hears his boy say, I'm sorry. And he's saying, boy, put a shoes on that boy's feet, put a ring on his finger, put a robe around him, killed a fatted calf. My son was dead and alive again, was lost and is found. That's amazing news, folks. And when that happened, the older brother didn't appreciate it at all. He's not going to go in for that party. In fact, that Luke 15 begins by saying, this man receives sinners. Talk about Jesus. And eats with them. And they couldn't imagine that. That's chair number three, by the way. They can't imagine that. That's what we're called to do. In Mark 2, Jesus said, in the house of a man named Matthew, who was a tax collector, who had just called to be one of his followers, and he said, you're eating with sinners, publicans, tax collectors. He says, those that are whole don't need a physician. Those that are sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's playing on words there. If you know you're sick, you come to a doctor. He's the great physician. So many say, no, not me, I'm fine. That's the prodigal son's brother. He never gave me a party. I'm not going in there. His father says, all I have is yours. Sin will teach you more than you want to know. It'll take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. But get this. It will cost you more than you ever want to pay. Hey, David. Yes. What are you doing? Well, I'm king of Israel. You know that. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm king of Israel, and I sent Joab, my wonderful general, out. He'll need me today. He'll do a fine job. I'm going to have some R&R. I'm going to stay home today. Well, that's good. You deserve it, King David. Boy, it's hot today. David said, I'm going to go up to my roof. I'm going to get some fresh air, which in those days, they had flat roofs that purpose. While he's up there, what are you doing, David? I just see this beautiful woman, and she's taking a bath. Well, David, don't look. You ever heard of pornography? Don't look. What are you doing, David? I want to know who she is. Sin will teach you more than you want to know. What are you doing, David? I've had her brought to my house. What happened, David? Well, we had an affair. We committed adultery. I'm sending her home now. It will take you farther than you want to go, huh, David? Yeah. But it's okay. No house, no harm, no foul. What's wrong, David? Just got a note from her. She's pregnant with my child. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. What are you going to do, David? I'm going to call her husband back home, send him down there. He will never know the difference. He thinks it's his child. What's wrong, David? He won't go. What are you going to do, David? Send him back to the front lines with a note to Joab. Put him on the very front lines tomorrow and be sure he's killed. And I'll take her into my harem, which he did. But don't you know when Joab and the soldiers came back, they could put two and two together? You can't hide that. But it keeps you longer than you want to stay. Then one day, Nathan, his wonderful prophet, came to him and said, David, I want to tell you a story. There's a man who had many sheep. Another man had one sheep, a ewe lamb. It was his pet. David, remember, you were 23rd Psalm. He understands that. Yeah, I understand that. Well, one day this man was going to have a party, and rather than killing one of his sheep, he stole the other man's sheep, and he killed that and served to his guest. And David is just livid. He says, that man ought to die. Nathan says, you're that man. What do you mean? You're king. You could have had anything and everything, but you took Uriah's only thing he had, his wife and his life. You're the man. And David said the key word to revival, I have sinned. Here's the good news. David, you're forgiven by God. But here's the bad news. There's consequences to our sins. And that will never leave your house. David's sons will commit the very same things he did. Adultery and murder. Boy, little boy and his daddy is going to build him a mansion for his inheritance. The boy was too young to understand what daddy was doing. But daddy was building this for his son. He's building this colonial mansion with these white pillars. He's putting those up, and his son kept saying, Dad, let me help you, let me help you. He's saying, son, I appreciate you wanting to help me, but you're not old enough. You don't understand. Daddy got kind of thirsty, went in to get some water. While he was gone, the boy said, I'm going to show my daddy I can do it. Took some nails, took a hammer, began to hammer those nails on beautiful white pillars, every one of them. And when daddy came out, he was heartsick. He went back in. Many years later, the boy finally realized what had happened. This is going to be his house. He went out with the other side of that hammer, the claw, and tried to pull all those nails out. And he did. He started crying. His father said, what's wrong, son? He said, daddy, I pulled all those nails out, but there's still scars. He said, that's the way it is, son. Son, with sin. Sin's that way. It always has scars. It will cost you more than you want to pay. But here's the good news. Open your Bibles now to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. In Titus 2 and verse 11, this is what Paul says. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men. Now, who do we know appeared to men? Jesus. He calls him the grace of God. For the grace of God that brings salvation, that's Jesus, hath appeared to all men, teaching us, sin will teach you more than you ever wanted to know. But grace, the school of grace, will teach you what exactly you need to know. Teaching us that we can refuse ungodliness and worldly lust. We can say no. We can really do that. With God's grace, we can say no to sin. But also in that verse 11 it says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Sin will take you further than you want to go. But grace will take you further than you thought you could go. For the grace of God that brings salvation. You mean I can be saved? As bad as I've been, I can be saved? Yes. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I've been there 10,000 days, bright shining the sun. I have no less days to sing God's praise than when I first did that. Grace will take you further than you thought you could go. Sin will keep you longer than you thought you want to stay. But grace will keep you longer than what you could say. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you obey the gospel, you live the life of a Christian. Teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we can live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. We can do that. And we can look forward to the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It reminds you of Psalm 23, doesn't it? The last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and plus, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sin will teach you more than you want to know, but grace will teach you even now. Take you further than you want to go, the Christian, further than you thought you could go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, but grace will keep you longer than you thought you could stay. Sin will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, but grace paid the debt you could never pay. We sing that song, He Paid a Debt You Now Owe. I owe the debt I could not pay. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid the debt. Grace did that. The blood of Christ did that. Amazing grace. And so today we talk about sin and grace. Now you know how bad sin is. You see how amazing God's grace is. The prodigal son, as bad as he did, what did he do? He's able to be forgiven by a gracious God. You can too. You can come down the aisle in a few moments, give your preacher your hand, and guard your heart. He'll baptize you into Christ. of all your sins washed away. Revival? Oh, yes. Born again of water and spirit. If you have been baptized and have been living like you should, you can come forward and give your preacher your hand, God your heart, and the whole congregation will pray with you and for you. The prayer of righteous folks availeth much. You can be right with God today. Sin and grace. Which side do you want to be on Judgment Day? Will you come?